This is Money in Motion with Klaus Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
Yes, it is. And welcome to it. This is Klaus Financial's Money in Motion. And joining us here in studio this week, we have Steve and Malia. Malia and Steve, I hope you had a great weekend, and I'm glad to chat with you again.
Good to hear from you, Mike. How's it going out east?
Great, great. Not bad at all. We apologize about not being able to connect last week, but I heard the show, and it sounded like it went off without a hitch with just you two.
Well, thanks, Mike. We always enjoy it even more when you're on board with us, though.
Yes, I enjoy talking with you both, and we're excited about today's Money in Motion. And so let's get right into it. What are we going to talk about today on Klaus Financial's Money in Motion?
Well, what we like to remind our listeners from time to time is the how, when, and where Klaus Financial can actually assist you. So we love to sit down with people who are wanting to take a look at what retirement might look like for them in the future. And so the how is that they just simply need to pick up the phone and give us a call. And the first meeting at Klaus Financial is always complimentary. And what we do literally is sit down with people and just discuss where they're at with their retirement planning, usually offer them a little bit of immediate guidance to help them accomplish their goals. Everybody just wants to know where they're at. So that's kind of the beginning point. The when is the sooner the better. 5 to 10 years prior to retirement usually makes the most sense. However, we do help people plan for way before then, but generally speaking, people have to get their kids through school and get their debts in order before they even want to talk to somebody. So generally 5 to 10 years. The where is our office in Loves Park, which is on Perryville across from Peak. Or we have an office up in Madison that assists people who are in the state line area, both in Wisconsin and in Illinois. Another good way to connect with us is also go to our website, klausfinancial.com, or sign up for our weekly Market Pulse. We have media resources on the website. We have many ways that we help educate our listeners besides just the radio shows. The radio shows, however, are on podcasts. So if you've missed a show 1 week and you want to bone up on a particular kind of information regarding retirement, look at our podcasts and they're available anytime for you.
Yes, on KlausFinancial.com. And Klaus, of course, is spelled K-L-A-A-S, financial.com, K-L-A-A-S, financial.com. We should also note that we are going to be doing our Klaus quiz question of the week, and the first person to call 815-877-8440 with the correct answer to the question we ask will win for this week a $25 gift card for Red Lobster. So 815-877-8440 is the number to call later when we ask the Klaus quiz question of the week. And the answer to the question we will talk, or you will hear, as the show unfolds. Now, I know as we plan for retirement, my wife and I were talking about, you know, planning for retirement earlier today, because she joined me here for this weekend in New Jersey before we broadcast later from Philadelphia. And a lot of us have questions revolving around Social Security. Can you guys give us an idea about some of the most common questions that everyone has when it comes to planning for Social Security?
You know, those really are pertinent questions too, Mike, because for the majority of people, Social Security will play a very important part in their overall retirement income. So some of the most common questions that we are asked is, you know, when or what's the best age for me to look at starting Social Security? How are those benefits calculated? I have heard many times where there's some misunderstanding of how that's actually calculated. And also, how do I get my Social Security statements? In the past, they always came by mail. Now it's more online for most people. So as you will hear us say more than once, another good source would be ssa.gov in order to get an update on your Social Security benefits. And as I understand it, you can even actually sign up online when that point in time comes where you want to fire it off. For most people, starting Social Security, more times than not, you'll have different ages that we've talked about in the past. For many, their full retirement age for Social Security is probably somewhere between age 66 and 67. If a person continues to work full-time and wants to defer starting their Social Security from a planning standpoint, then they could go to age 70. We'll get into more details in a few minutes. And the earliest age for people to start Social Security would be age 62. So the ages again are 62, 66 to 67, and age 70. When we're talking about how you obtain those benefits or how they're actually calculated, it's actually a 35-year working year, I should say, average history for your actual calculations. And within that, you're qualifying for quarterly credits, of which you can earn 4 per year. So for most recipients, you have to have worked and paid in Social Security taxes for at least 10 years before you become fully eligible. There are eligibilities that are allowed for less depending on your age, and that's again where that SSA.gov comes into play.
Yeah, one thing we try to dig out of the memory banks of our clients is they say, well, I've worked at the same job for 25 years. And we go, and perhaps they've been paying in for 25 years. But we sit back and we go, well, what did you do before that job and before that job? So perhaps they worked in a profession that they did not pay into Social Security. So again, we try to go back and we go, okay, but what did you do before that or before that? And there's often some jobs that they did actually qualify by paying enough into Social Security. So we're always trying to seek out what kind of Social Security benefit do you have coming to you. They don't necessarily call you and say, hey, we have this extra benefit for you, so come on down. You really need to be, you know, your own advocate, or hopefully have someone on your team, like a good financial advisor, who's going to say, have you looked into this situation? I have a client right now who's a grandparent, has custodianship of her grandchild, and I'm having her look into possible benefits that she could be collecting for the child. So there's lots of options. You do need to research them out. Very important point, Steve.
Yeah, and there is a misconception about Social Security, too, that, you know, that people think it's like an IRA where you're actually putting actual money into an account and it's growing, you know, based on the money taken out of your paycheck for Social Security each week or each month, or, you know, how, depending on how you're paid. But that's not necessarily the case, is it? It is like we discussed before, it's calculated by the highest 35 years of pay throughout your life.
Exactly. And so as Steve said, the earliest you can take Social Security is age 62. The longer you wait, the higher the benefit. So as far as an optimal age, that really has more to do with how long you're going to live. And that's the question of the day always. So we like to point out the maximum Social Security retirement benefit payable today is in the neighborhood of $2,600 a month. If you retire at age 62, that would be in the neighborhood of $2,100. So there's a difference. You can see about $500 between age 62 and full retirement age, which would be 66 or 67. Average current benefit across the nation right now is about $1,200 a month. So again, $1,200 a month, if that's all you're counting on for Social Security as part of your income, doesn't go very far. So that's why we're always pointing out we need these other resources that you can be drawing off your income from besides just Social Security.
And it's important at the same time be able to, no worries, take that as part of the planning process. As Malia said, depending on your age and your other income needs or objectives, that really could be the start point of determining when is your best age to fire off Social Security.
Yes, I know that that's a calculation that we all have to figure out. You know, if you take it earlier, it's less per month. If you wait, it's a little bit more. And that you just have to decide, you know, where you're at in your life at 62. How large, by the way, is Social Security, and who manages the system?
It's a great question. You know, and I had to dig kind of hard for this one. I didn't know. There's a current Social Security commissioner. I personally hadn't heard of her. Her name's Carolyn Colvin. And she actually oversees one of the largest agencies in the federal government, which is Social Security. There's more than 60,000 federal employees nationwide, another 18,000 state employees that she oversees. And today, Social Security is responsible for paying more than $800 billion a year in monthly benefits. Let me repeat that. Social Security pays out more than $800 billion each year in monthly benefits. And that's being paid out to over 60 million recipients. So, you know, that is, you know, if you're wondering if things could change in Social Security over the next 20, 30 years, and everybody knows about the potential for the benefit to change, there's a good reason when we're looking at that many people being affected and the fewer people actually putting money back in. So it's just amazing that someone actually oversees something like that.
Seriously, that's unbelievable. And as Malia pointed out, I mean, when you look at the size of that, it's definitely going to be there, but just depends on in what format as you're going forward. But that's an enormous amount. Nobody would have necessarily thought of it at that level with a B.
Right, exactly.
$800 billion, yeah.
Per year.
Another way of looking at that is 0.8 trillion per year. And that's distributed to more than 60 million recipients. All right. Well, one question I think a lot of listeners might have is if they look into what their Social Security benefit is or is going to be, and it's not as high as they would like, can they buy credits to make it higher? We're going to get the answer to that question from Stephen Malia from Cost Financial. After this, on the Michael Kugan Show's Money in Motion, don't go anywhere.
This is Money in Motion with Klaus Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
That's right. We are back. I am broadcasting from New Jersey. Steve and Malia are in WRLK Studios in Rockford. And before the break, we were talking about Social Security and the different ages that you can start to draw Social Security and the different benefits amount you can get at 62 versus later in, you know, between 66 and 67. Stephen Malia, what if you find out that your Social Security benefit is not as high as you'd like? Can you buy credits to make it higher?
Yeah, that's a great question, Mike, because, you know, we see that at times in retirement scenarios where, for example, teachers or other public employees can actually buy back service to increase their benefit. However, with Social Security, that's not an option. You cannot buy more credits by voluntarily contributing to Social Security. You can only earn more credits by working in a job where you're actually paying Social Security taxes. So in this case, that's not an option.
It's really an important point, too. I know we have clients who are, for example, a hairdresser. And a hairdresser and other trades similar to that don't necessarily pay everything into Social Security. A lot of business expenses. And that's something we encourage them to understand that, you know, you're kind of hurting yourself down the road. So you do want to make sure you've paid enough into Social Security to make sure that benefits up. So the next question was, we were going to cover is, what if I'm married and I have no Social Security benefit coming for my own record? Steve?
Yes, Malia. And again, when you're looking at the strategy for retirement, that is another factor. Now, for Social Security, for a non-working spouse, they actually become eligible for 50% of their working spouse's benefit. It's tied to the age at which the spouse started Social Security. So, for example, if the spouse started Social Security at age 66, which is their full retirement age, and the non-working spouse wanted to obtain Social Security as well, they would really need to wait until their age 66 to get 50% of the full benefit. There are other strategies involved with Social Security, but they usually greatly decreases the amount that that person would be eligible for.
Yeah, and sometimes when people get married and perhaps someone passes away, you know, really quickly, unfortunately, one interesting fact is that you only have to be married a year to be eligible to collect those benefits. So we know if you're divorced and your marriage lasted at least 10 years, you may be eligible to get benefits on your former spouse's record. So a lot of ins and outs about to understand with Social Security. And I think we just wanted to talk about, mention there's also widow benefits that can be out there for you. So I was just thinking, you know, when we write these radio programs and when we're talking about Social Security, Steve Scow has the same initials as Social Security here. So I think he can answer all your questions about Social Security.
Double S.
Double S.
There you go. Double S. You know, and I did have an example myself with some clients where actually a gentleman, his wife had passed away. He was actually in his mid-70s, late-70s, and did get married again. And his new wife actually was collecting benefits from her divorced husband. And just as you pointed out, Malia, they actually have to wait 1 year. She loses her benefits from her ex when she got married, and she has to wait 1 year into their new marriage before she could become eligible for half of her new spouse's benefits. So there are some things to be aware of up front.
Yeah, and they could certainly trip you up a little bit.
Yeah, it gets a little bit complicated when you're talking about divorce and new spouses and their Social Security benefits and not. And Kloss Financial can help you navigate those complications that happen in life with regards to all sorts of things retirement related, but Social Security in particular. Now, is it true if you, I mean, generally speaking, wait to take Social Security, that your benefit will grow pretty substantially? If you kind of deferred satisfaction or deferred gratification, you know, some people want things immediately. If you defer that gratification, will your benefit grow pretty substantially?
Yeah, this is a pretty nice uplift to your Social Security benefit if you wait. So what we're referring to right now are the DRCs, the delayed retirement credits. And so what happens between your full retirement age, as Steve said, between 66, 67, and the age of 70 is if you can wait until that age, each year that you wait up until that age 70, you get an additional 8% of benefit added on to your full retirement age benefit. So it's definitely an incentive. Obviously, the government would like you to take a while to start collecting. As we just said, how many people are receiving the benefit, so they're trying to make it stretch out. So an 8%, I mean, nobody here can offer you that kind of return. 8% a year sounds pretty nice. But obviously, you're getting closer to the end of your life. So there's a reason they're making you, if you wait, they're giving you some kind of benefit. So keep that in mind. After the age of 70, though, even if you really don't need the money, there's no automatic increase. So by all means, you should be taking the money definitely by the age of 70.
One of the reasons I got into this radio business, Stephen Malia, is because I can't picture myself not wanting to do it. I want to keep working. And I know that there are radio hosts well beyond the age of 70 who are still making it radio every day and love doing it and can't imagine not. So if I wanted to keep on working, could I still draw Social Security benefits past certain ages?
That's a great question, Mike. And actually, the answer is yes, you can continue to work after you start Social Security benefits. However, based on the age at which you start, there may be some changes in the amount you receive. And what I'm referring to there is if you start collecting Social Security at age 62, for instance, and you are still working, the income that you're allowed to earn this year without affecting your Social Security income benefits is $15,720 of working income in 2016. Now, if you wait till full retirement age, as we've said, 66, 67, or even into age 70, then there are no restrictions on the amount of working income you can still earn without affecting your Social Security income. With that being the case, you are still allowed to pay taxes on it, however. It's not a freebie.
Interesting. Yes, you're listening to Money in Motion, sponsored by Kloss Financial. Listeners can go to klossfinancial.com for more information, K-L-A-A-S, financial.com. Before we wrap up and talk about some of the things that we might not have had a chance to get to, we should ask the Kloss Quiz question of the week. The first person to answer this question correctly wins a $25 gift card for Red Lobster. The number to call is 815-877-8440. That's 815-877-8440. And the Kloss Quiz question this week is, how many dollars per year does Social Security pay out in monthly benefits for 60 million recipients? Again, how many dollars per year does Social Security pay out monthly to 60 million United States recipients? 815-877-8440. Steve and Malia, is there anything else about Social Security that we need to talk about? I mean, one of the biggest ones is, will it still be there when those of us who are in our 40s, 30s, and younger retire?
It'll still be there, but just not for you, Mike, okay? So keep on working. No, just kidding. There's a lot to understand about Social Security, and the one thing we're pretty sure of is it will remain in place. How it will be funded, though, will probably look completely different than any of us can imagine. When we will be able to start Social Security, I could easily imagine them delaying that out a little further in the future. So really, you just want to stay in tune. And I know people really don't stay in tune until they're getting closer to that age. So so stay in tune. What's going on out there? Go to www.ssa.gov so that you can look at some questions that you might have about Social Security. Great resource. You can start your benefit there. You can look at your own account. Great resource that we refer people to. And once in a while, we do educational programs. We bring in Social Security consultants at Kloss Financials to allow people to get down to the nitty-gritty and ask some really independent questions. So we're all about educating our clients.
And I can see, I have a little note here about SSA.gov. It says you can establish a login there and get more information about SS. That does not mean more information about Steve Scout.
Exactly. You might find something there. I don't know.
Never know.
All right. Thank you so much, Steve and Malia, for joining us this week.
Thank you.
Thanks again, Mike. Have a good week.
This has been Kloss Financials. Be in motion. We will be right back on The Michael Coolidge Show. Don't go anywhere.
This is Money in Motion with Kloss Financial. Securities by licensed individuals offered through Investacorp Inc., a registered broker-dealer, member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through Kloss Financial Asset Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Kloss Financial does not offer tax or legal advice. Any opinion offered during the course of this show is the opinion of that particular investment advisor representative and not necessarily the opinion of Kloss Financial.